Many Chinese people rekindled their interest in classical Chinese poetry recently, thanks to a popular TV show that aims to appreciate classical Chinese poetry, explore cultural heritage, and enjoy the beauty of life by combining ancient literature with TV quizzes. Yes, I'm talking about 中国诗词大会. So I'd like to go straight to Niu Honglin about this one. Tell me more about this TV show and its huge success. So, this is the second season of the Zhenghua Shisi Da Hui, or China Central Television Program, named Chinese Poetry Conference. This is actually a competition, or like He Yang says, a quiz of poetry recitation, comprehension, and appreciation. It is a Lunar New Year hit right after it was aired on January 29th. With a rating that topped 1%, the program grabbed a market share of nearly 16% when it ended Tuesday night, leading all primetime broadcastings, including hot soap operas. So people are preferring this rather than soap operas. I'm so glad.
Wow.
More than 100 competitors from all ages and walks of life participated in the show, among them the youngest one, ages only 7 years old. And since these 100 competitors are chosen and selected by program teams, so they are, let's say, they're poetry knowledge is quite rich, and we should believe that this 9-year-old can recite a lot of poems, which is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And the champion, named Wu Yishu, a 16-year-old high school student, also shot to start her outstanding performances has gained a lot of fans, and they love her. And let's talk a little bit about this show. So basically, I've seen the show and I loved it. And this is really about poetry remembering. You have to remember a lot of poems, so you can pick up characters from a lot of choices to make it a sentence from a poetry. So you can see a picture describing that poem sentence, so you can say what sentence is that. Mm-hmm. And there are other questions about the meaning of the poem. And this one particular game named Fei Hua Ling is also, well, very much praised. It is originally a drinking game often played by scholars in ancient China. And this is newly added in this season. The game has the host select a Chinese character, and two remaining competitors will then have to recite a verse of poetry that contains this character, like in turns. So whoever run out of poem to say lose the game. So it is a very interesting game, and people love it.
Yeah, I mean, so let's talk about, you know, some of the praises these contestants received for their great performances. I mean, the student you had just mentioned, Wu, loves wearing outfits that are similar to those that were worn during the Han Dynasty. So you really get this feeling of like ancient culture, just like history. And she was described as being seen as the perfect image of a talented woman from ancient times. So maybe you're really seeing kind of like, you're kind of seeing history. And I think that people really like that, you know. Other people described her heart has absorbed the charm of poetry. Wu is also modest. She stands there calm and relaxed. She makes you feel a poetic sentiment just by being there. So these people are, I think, very articulate in what they are doing. Yes, so they deserve their praises.
Yes, and it is such a nice and comforting atmosphere, and also a scene on TV when you see that there are these, in a way, people probably think that they are anomalies of Chinese society, that so much of their daily life and their aesthetics and what they find as a pleasure in life is to read poetry and ancient poetry and to experience the beauty from that. And just when Niu Honglin talked about Fei Hua Ling, and that used to be a drinking game,
yeah.
I cannot believe this. The scholarly aspect, and also in a way, I think we romanticize towards that kind of lifestyle as well in ancient China, when you're so well-read, educated person, and you and your friends who belong to the similar bunch. and play drinking games and you recite poems. That is the kind of life that modern day Chinese people, or most people, I feel, romanticize and wish we can have that in our lives, but
Absolutely.
We don't. And maybe the only thing you can do is recite these poems.
Well, okay. So actually, I think this makes sense. And you said that, you know, this is an anomaly. I would say the times we live in now are an anomaly. I don't think human beings for so much of our history have gone at such a fast pace, always available to information, just always being exposed to something. Life used to be so much more simpler, and I think we are deep thinkers at our core. We find meaning and value in life when we get to think about it. So if we get some, you know, girl like this who's very articulate and really knows the poetry and how it's supposed to be expressed, when we see that, when we're coming back from work after every day seems to be like the rest, and we hear of some poetry of how some person found beauty in sitting by a lake, and how, you know, it's so symbolic of life and the wind and all these different things they describe in such beautiful ways, that's also us. We're not just people that run around trying to make ends meet and money. We are so much more than that. If we're comfortable and we have, you know, that comfortable standard of living, or if life is more simple, I think we tend to think on a higher level to try to find meaning in all of this.
Oh, that is a wonderful way of looking at this. As Ryan, you seem to say that, yes, modern people aren't just crude people,
I think now is
that
the
forget
amount.
About poetry
yeah.
and life.
Yeah.
Yes, and why are people so enthusiastic about poetry like this one? Well, we will talk about that right after this very short break. Don't go away!
Roundtable. Connect the dots. Paints the picture. Debates the big issues. Every day from 1 to 2 p.m. on Easy FM.
You are listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Ryan Price, and Niu Honglian. Now, let's talk about a question that many Chinese people are asking right now after seeing the popularity of 中国诗词大会, the most popular poetry quiz show that's recently just ended. Why are Chinese people so interested in poetry, and here we're talking about ancient poetry, when the stereotypical way of looking at today's Chinese people is we're practical, we want to earn more money?
Well, I think before answering that question, we should first take a look at why are people being enthusiastic about this show? Because it's about ancient poem. And I think the production team has made a very smart choice to include a lot of, I'm not going to say basic, but popular and classic ancient Chinese poems in the competition. And by doing that, people feel connected. It's not like some very difficult or things that they can't remember themselves. They can answer so many of these questions, and it reminded them of their best timing in maybe high school and sometimes in college, that they do remember a lot of poems. They feel they're a well-educated, knowledgeable person, and that makes them wanted to stick to this show and to continue watching it. And continue watching it. By watching it, you realize you still have that soft spot in your heart for poetry. And I have this a little bit dark theory, that is, because in ancient China, we talk about 琴棋书画, that is, maybe a traditional Chinese music, and the 围棋, like go or go chess, and also 书 meaning calligraphy. Those things are a little bit hard, at least harder than reciting a poem. So that might be the easiest way for you to connect with ancient people.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so, you know, He Yang, you had said Chinese people are more practical and they want to make more money. I think actually everybody wants to make more money all around the world. I think nowadays people are practical because we don't have time not to be practical. But then I think we want to see what it's like to not to live beautifully, to think beautifully, to have the luxury of not living practically. And I think that's why this show is popular. I think poetry is a way of speaking with meaning, with a way of speaking so that you have to think about what that person meant. And I would say this even transcends to things like religion, I would say religion in the West. I mean, many times in the New Testament, someone like Jesus will speak in parables, and it's not just a straightforward way of talking, but rather he'll say something like a mustard seed, like faith is like a mustard seed. You put it in the ground, it's a small seed, it doesn't seem like much, but when it grows, it becomes one of the biggest plants out there. And it's, you know, you think of this, and because of its symbolism and because of how it's said in poetry just all over the world, it can make sense at any time of your life. People can see the symbolism, and it doesn't matter if it was someone in China that had written this poem in, you know, 10 AD. Because of that symbolism, because of how he wrote, we can apply that even to modern times, and it's a beautiful way to think.
Yes, and I'd like to point out there's this special contestant who's a 40-something-year-old lady, and she had cancer, and she had to travel 5 hours every day from home to hospital to accept the treatment. Mm. So she has to go there alone because the other member of the family need to earn money for her treatment. And all she has was poetry, was books. She read it and write it down and remember it for a year and year. And then she became this well-knowledged lady who knows a lot of poetry. And poetry is a very strong part of her life because she needs that spiritual or mental support. And she got it from the ancient poems, and that is very, very beautiful.
Yeah, and as an outsider, though, looking at this specific research that we had gained, like, I think, you know, China is one of the human civilizations that has been around the longest and has the most recorded history. And I think when you get poems that are from, like, the BC era, you know, it's just, it blows you away because you get to see how people thought back then. It's a window open to another human being that just existed at a different point in time. And we can see the similarities in our lives. And yet there's so many differences. And there's something to be said for that. I think we long for that. We want to know our history. We want to know our past and our experience.
Yes, we want to know our past, and we want to know and feel its relevance in today's daily life. I can feel that. And also, I'm so glad, Niu Honglin, you cited the story of that 40-year-old lady, as I think for someone like her who's struggling and combating pain and disease, she finds a level of comfort, security, and beauty in life via poetry. And that is such a liberating feeling. That is, you can find a safe haven that is untouched, regardless of hardship. In reality, we all need our spiritual land. It is a pure place that no body, no entity can rob you of.
Yeah.
So create that for yourself, and life is so much better.
Woo!
Woo! You're listening to Roundtable, and that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you so much for your company. Bye-bye, everybody!